Welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or a favorite recipe, please contact us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about negative talk. Yeah, when people kind of say things that are not enthusiastic, right? Yeah. And negative talk leads perhaps to a preconceived notion of failure, of negativity, yes? And, of course, that's no way to run a group dynamic. Mm-hmm. Yes. It is true. We did several shows on preconceived notions. They are archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com, yes. So let's start out, like we often do, by defining what we're talking about, defining what areas we'd like to discuss, because, of course, this is not a scripted show. We take this show wherever the questions and the answers and all of your participation. Thank you all for being here. I see we have lots of people. Thank you for being here. All where your participation takes us. So, what types of negative talking do we often encounter within our context? Within our context of a mediation, a negotiation, an alternative dispute resolution, a workshop, a seminar, whatever it is that we are doing to get a group together to reach a successful outcome. Yes, even if the successful outcome is in a class, like a seminar or a workshop, because we need to get everybody on the same page and feeling, well, non-negative, feeling positive, right? Yes. So what types of negative talking do we have? I think our number one is going to be gossip. Yes, gossip is what is going to be our number one type of negative talking that we're going to be talking about today. And I think the second one, because we're going to do it by kind of voting, so to speak, and you guys, of course, are telling me which kinds of negative talking that you see on a regular basis, and I see these two. Mm-hmm. How about a negative opinion of the process? Mm-hmm. A negative opinion of how it's going, of what's happening. Yeah, people can be feeling kind of grumpy. Or maybe one person is feeling, well, like they'd like to hijack the process, right? Because maybe they'd like to be leader, for example, right? Yeah. A lot of times we have that. We have kind of a leader wannabe. And in order to do that, they need to be critical of what's happening and get other people to side with them. Have to watch out for that. Yeah, I think this is going to be a separate one. How about a negative talking with a negative opinion of the leader or the other participants, right? Yeah, that's different than the process itself, although that has to do with the leader and the participants. But an actual negative talking about people instead of just the process, about the leader or about the other participants. I'm going to call the fourth one kind of pessimism. Right? Just feeling pessimistic about the outcome, about the whole thing. Just not feeling the love, not feeling enthusiastic, not feeling that we think that this is going to occur, right? Yeah. Not feeling enthusiasm is the pessimism as to the outcome. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I think, going to be four areas to talk about. And it'll pretty much encompass pretty much every kind of negative talking. Yes, A lot of you, thank you all for being here. A lot of people are talking about a breach of the civility rules right up front. And that applies to all of these, doesn't it? And for those of you who are new, and thank you all of you for being here and everybody for your participation, the civility rules are the only rules that Recipe for Peace Now really has. And they say we will not be rude to one another at the very core. We will not be rude to one another. We'll have everybody be able to take a turn. We will have the ability to not have people make faces while we're talking, not have people raise their voice or be sarcastic, right? Some groups need to have the civility rules written down. I don't usually, unless it's necessary. Some groups need to have them told to them each time about the civility rules, tailored to whatever kind of uncivil difficulty this group has a tendency towards, right? Some groups need to have their who gets a turn and how long they get to speak timed. Yeah, we've actually done shows on this. It's kind of like, yes. I know that you guys all have different ideas about timing and how to get people to keep to the amount of time they're allowed to speak and to be civil and like that. The most important civility rule is we as a leader model it. We are a good example. How can you enforce something that you don't follow yourself? We, as the leaders, are good examples of the civility rules. Very, very important. Yes, to be good examples. To say, you know, this is how we're going to do it. I never raise my voice. I'm never judgmental. I never am rude to anyone. I never interrupt if it's their turn to speak, right? Yes, people are asking about speaking turns because that's kind of a very basic idea of and something to enforce. Most of you, a lot of you, well, everybody is here and you're all wonderful, and thank you for the new people to be here too. I favor actually a kitchen timer. I know that a lot of you have different ways of doing it, and that has to do with your personality and your style as a leader. I feel, thank you. A lot of people that had different ideas are going, yeah, we came around to the kitchen timer thought. It's a little primitive, and it's a little dopey when you start out. It seems like, oh, gee, can't you do something more sophisticated than that? But I like an actual kitchen timer, the kind with a knob that goes tick, 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 and then ding, right? Because you don't want people to talk more than, I don't know, you have 5 minutes to talk. That's quite a long time, really. Whatever it is that you need, but the kitchen timer will do it. I like it because it is in the room. You can see it. You can hear it. You can time how much time you've got left. And it has been my experience that if somebody keeps the time and raises their hand or yells stop or something, A, it's rude, and that breaches the civility rules. But B, people feel they didn't really get the same amount of time as somebody else. They got that in their heart. They really think that somebody else got like 10 minutes and they got like 2 minutes. Because that's how it feels when you're talking, right? Right. Yeah. And so I like something in the room that is neutral. You just set it. Everybody can see it. It's like, here, go. And then it dings. And you can see that it's almost close because you can see the little dial thing going towards ding. Yeah. It's very fair. Everybody knows that they've been treated very fairly. They've had the same amount of time to present their opinions as everybody else. So, yes, I think it's essential to enforce the civility rules like that. Do you always use the timer? No, because some groups aren't breaching the civility rules. They know them in their heart naturally, right? Right. Yeah. The civility rules are something that you bring up as needed, and that you bring up and enforce as needed. But the key to that enforcement, the key to making the civility rules stick, so to speak, is that you must do them fairly and immediately. Don't wait until you've kind of lost the group dynamic and are trying to get it back. Because then you have to make the rude second grade teacher speech. My apologies to anyone who's a second grade teacher. About you children have been bad and now we're going to do it this way. Right? You shouldn't get to that point. You should see that the civility rules are not being adhered to and break out the timer and the actual rules and like that. Mm-hmm. And also before you have to play favorites and non-favorites, because everybody knows who it is that's breached the rules the most, right? Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the civility rules cover all of these areas, because negative talking breaches the civility rules. Because the civility rules say that we will be nice to each other, we will not be rude, and we will act in a gracious manner. Mm-hmm. And negative talking is not a gracious manner. Okay, now that we've discussed that and it applies to all of them, let's get down to these topics, right? What types of negative talking do we often see within our context? Gossip was our first one, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people are voting for gossip lots. Mm-hmm. And Shakita and others are saying that gossip is the most dangerous because it's a malicious lie to cause dissension. A malicious lie to cause dissension. Oftentimes, this may be one step further than gossip. Yeah, we're getting some, well, that's into the realm of deliberateness, right? Is all gossip deliberately a malicious lie? Shakita's saying yes. There's so, look, quite a few people are saying, yeah, that basically speaking, gossip is usually a lie. And we've got kind of division that says that gossip started out as someone's opinion, right? I'm going to say that most gossip I see starts out as someone's opinion that they have interpreted something wrong. Does that make it a malicious lie on Shakita's theory? It might be. It depends how deliberate it is. It depends if it's a deliberate ploy to do something bad, right? Like to get rid of someone or to make someone feel unwelcome. Yeah. A lot of times I do think it's, I'm going to vote with Shakita and say a lot of times it is a malicious lie to cause dissension. Mm-hmm. That is hopefully quickly caught and definitely dispelled, right? Yeah. We're going to, the solution to that is to bring that thing out into the open, find out who on earth started it, because it's hard, sometimes hard to know, and squash it. Absolutely, positively not what is happening. Mm-hmm. And why would you think that and then reason it out that that's not what's happening, right? Yeah. Yeah, Fred and others are saying that sometimes gossip, the person who starts it, believes it to be true, but it's repeated and embellished as it goes along, right? Somebody says something to someone, even kind of offhand, that they know about, oh, I don't know, about the issues, about the people in the group, about things. Yeah, gossip covers pretty much everything. And the person who said it might actually have just been showing that they know something, right? But what they knew was kind of half-baked, probably. Or what they knew was not very big, but the person they told it to wanted to repeat it. And when they repeated it, they kind of embellished it, right? They made it more interesting. Mm-hmm. And that then got, every time it got repeated, more interesting, right? Yeah. And kind of bigger. Yes. Yeah, it's like the game of telephone. It's an old game where people start out saying something and then they whisper it to somebody else and they didn't exactly hear it, so they repeat it differently. And by the time it gets down the line, this is actually one of the games in the book, right? Yes, where we do this, and I love doing it with a group, because we divide up in about, depending how big the group is, not more than like six people to a team, and one person gets something to say, and they whisper it to the next person standing next to them, and then they whisper it, and it goes down, and by the time it gets to the sixth person or the fifth or whatever, it needs more than three and probably not more than six. By the time it gets to the last person, they say what it was that they heard, right? And it, basically speaking, has very little relationship to what was said in the first place. Yeah. And that's how gossip is. It gets kind of embellished and spread, and then it's weird, yeah. So sometimes somebody believes it to be true, but by the time it gets around, it's got not much of a relationship to the truth and a lot of relationship to malicious a lot of times. Ellen says that gossip is anything that is unverified. Anything that is unverified. I'll go with that, because you can always ask the leader, is this true? And the leader would like to know. Actually, this is one of the things that I tell people straight off with my transparency kick when I start any kind of a negotiation, any kind of a workshop, a seminar, a negotiation, any kind of alternative dispute resolution. Excuse me, I took a sip of water. Anything where people need to get together, right, and make a good group dynamic and reach a successful outcome. I say this straight out, and I say it constantly every time we get together. I tell everyone that you can always ask me anything as leader. Tell me what's going on. If I don't know, or it's news to me, sometimes there's some sort of gossip, some sort of negative talk that's going around that I don't know as leader. And I'd like to know about it because, as Ellen said, I'd like to see if it can be verified. Because if it can, that makes a difference, right? Yeah, that's more than gossip and rumor. That's something we need to ask somebody else about. Is this true? Now that's interesting. Yeah. Is it true? Is this a fact? Yeah, I want to know. Everybody wants to know. You betcha. Yeah, so unverified. We should bring it up so that we can see if it can be verified or dispelled, right? Yeah. People asking how you verify a rumor, a gossip, or something like that. Some sort of a informational that's going around. The answer is that you think about what's being said and who would know the truth of the matter. Now, sometimes we as leader know the truth of the matter, but sometimes we don't. Or we've got bosses, or you know what I mean? There's somebody different than somebody in the group who knows the answer to that. And we would like to ask them straight up if this is true, false, how come this is going around, right? And sometimes they'd like to know. the rumor or gossip that's going around. I mean, it goes both ways, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you need to verify it or unverify it, as the case may be. Yeah, Melissa and others are talking about really talking to the subject of the gossip, right? And negotiate to repair the relationship. Sometimes the gossip or the rumor is about someone, and you need to talk to them. You need to deal with them. You need to bring it out into the open. It's ruining your group dynamic. It really is. And it needs to be dealt with, is the key to it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are asking if gossip and rumors are necessarily bad. We got some votes. Yeah, most people are voting for bad. I have seen, and I don't know that I approve. I think it's dangerous. Okay. I've seen it done successfully, I guess, a couple of times, where something is kind of deliberately floated as a rumor because I deal with a lot of multinational organizations, corporations, and things, and sometimes they want the media to pick something up and kind of give it media attention because they want it. I don't know, they're testing to see if it's a good idea. They want to be seen as very pro something, but they don't want to come out completely. You know what I mean? It's usually something that's the higher ups, the leaders of the corporation are kind of wavering about. And they want the media to give them an idea of what the opinion would be. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's kind of manipulation, I guess. But they deliberately, what they call float a rumor, they deliberately put an idea out there that seems like it's a rumor spread by some organization. Oftentimes they have the organization do it, indeed. And it's favorable to them. So, yeah, it's kind of good gossip. Good rumor, right? It's favorable. I think doing that, is it underhanded? I don't suppose it's actually underhanded. Or it's not illegal for sure. It's kind of dangerous, I think. It has to be done with a great deal of thought and a great deal of thinking about the repercussions from everybody's point of view, and not just from the point of view of the organization, right? You have to remember that what you think is going to happen is not the only outcome. Does that make sense? Yeah. And therefore, you have to be kind of careful that the idea that you had in mind is really going to work the way you thought it would. Yeah, it's complicated like that. So gossip, I suppose, is not necessarily bad. Usually the kind that I see that is, I'm going to call it organic, right? Kind of happens, somebody starts it, is usually not real complimentary. And the kind that I see that is favorable is usually put out by the organization, the people who would like it to be rumored. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like getting something to trend on the internet so that a lot of people look at it. Sometimes some of those things, the media has been invited to put them out there, right? Yeah. Is it a fake? Well, no. It's probably not a lie, but it is indeed, yeah, kind of a plant. And it's that's has to be done with a great deal of care. Yeah. It's a marketing thing. I'm not a marketer. I just think there's a good chance of that going south, going not doing well. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to our next one, or we will run out of time, as we sometimes do. Oops. The next one's kind of a negative opinion of the process, and people are talking about it. Yeah, they're kind of critical, and they want to. They have different ideas of how the process should go, right? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think that, and how do you handle that? The kind of grumbling is what's happening, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people, Harold and others, are talking about my favorite word, which is transparency. Mm-hmm. I like to tell people how we're doing and what we're going to do next and why. Mm-hmm. Because it isn't apparent, and it might make them feel grumbly that it's taken a while. Or we seem to be kind of meandering, right? And there's a reason for the madness, and people would like to know it. And once they know that we truly are on track, we just need to step back and look at this and then step forward into a more secure position. They understand that, and they get back and buy in. Yeah. I explain things constantly. And I'm very open to questions. I think it's important to prevent the process grumbling because it might take a while. Something that seems like it should be obvious and we're going to just get this done, usually speaking, isn't, and will take longer than anybody thought it would. Thank you, and it also might be more expensive. Good point. Yeah, depending on what we're doing and whether or not we need to raise funds for it. Yeah, longer, more time-consuming, harder, and more. It's kind of the norm. If we didn't have those issues, we wouldn't have needed to make a group that has to think it through and go forward. Yeah, it would have been done already, right? Right, yeah. So that's kind of a concept. And I love transparency, to tell people that this is why. This is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Chan and others are saying to ask for suggestions of a better way. Why not? Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't like this. What's your idea? What should we do? And let's think about whether or not that'll work. Because whether or not that'll work is the key to this, right? Right. Yeah. Ask for suggestions of a better way. Why not? You know, a lot of people, innocent others, are talking about creating a timeline. It does define the process to create a timeline. Yet we've talked about this in the past. Prior shows archived on the website, recipeforpeacenow.com. I'm not against a timeline. I'm against things that take up a lot of time and a lot of negotiation just to make the timeline. And I would caution that everyone needs to understand that the timeline is a suggestion. It is, unless, of course, you've got actual deadlines, like filing to have something on the ballot. I mean, that's an artificial outsider timeline that is imposed upon you, and that's definite. But if we're just talking about where we're going to be in the next few months, I would caution to make everyone understand that it is not set in stone, that it is fluid, that it is something that is a suggestion, and we need to tick off the items, but we are going to really have to think about it and modify as we go along. Because sometimes some steps take longer than others, right? Yeah. So, yeah, a timeline's a good visual to keep us enthusiastic and interested in the process because we know we are going. Anything that makes us feel like we're going forward, because we are, is a good thing because it is helpful for our enthusiasm level, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, Suki and others are saying that the key to all of this is to decide as a group what the realistic expectations are and then do them as a group. Yeah, and the leader should not impose a timeline ever. All right, ever being a big word. We have talked about different needs for style of leadership. Unless you have a group that truly needs you to be very strict, I'm the leader, this is what we will do it now, and you have 24 hours to complete your assignment and bring it back. That kind of strict. That's imposing a timeline on the group. Might be necessary if you're very close to a deadline, and the deadline can't be moved, and it's important. Other than that, the group should decide on the timeline because it'll make them buy in. It'll make everybody feel that they did indeed sign up for this, they did indeed participate in this, and we've gotten this far, no sense in turning back now. See, that's one of the key components. We've gotten this far, no sense in turning back now. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A realistic one is a group. My leadership style tends to not impose things on the group. We tend to talk about it. Depending on how late in the game I've been called in, for example, and whether or not this group is already so far in trouble that they need someone to just take the reins and say, stop that. This is what we're going to do now, and you will follow my lead now. You see, yeah, sometimes I'm called in because I've been working in negotiation a really long time. I'm called in when a group has imploded. It's kind of dissolved, right? And it was and possibly it's got the same people and there's still the leader who failed is still a member of the group. That's a time when I often really take the reins and force them to turn like a horse, right? And then, if it's an ongoing issue, then as we get acclimated to the new sheriff in town, which would be me, and we get acclimated to the fact that we're going to complete our assignments and we're going to be efficient and we're going to get this done, then you can start asking for people's opinions. Does that make sense? Yeah, because before then, you haven't gotten their attention yet. So you have to decide. It kind of depends. Yeah. It depends how the process needs to go forward. The process needs to go forward with the buy-in of the group. The people have to do the process, right? Right. So we're going to decide what the realistic expectation is. We're going to talk about it. We're going to be transparent. And a lot of you are saying, and then we're going to do it my way because I'm the leader. Well, the trick is to let them think it's everybody's idea, even though that's probably true because they're going to do it my way because I'm the leader and I understand how the process should go. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. So what's our next area? And that's going to be negative talk, negative opinion of the leader or the other participants. Yes. We're getting grumbling not on the process but on the people. Mm-hmm. And I do encourage people to tell me if they're going to grumble about me. Because some people really have no taste, yes. What should we do about that? How should we handle if there is negative talk, there's negativity in the group that is hurting the group dynamic, right? Because we're not playing well with each other. We're not getting down to negotiation, to really solving the problems, right? Yeah. What should we do? Mm-hmm. Well, Hussein and others are absolutely right. Yeah. Hussein says, break out the 5W questions. Yes, because you need to know how come. You need to know the root of it. The 5W questions are who, what, where, when, and why. Who, what, where, when, why. What's going on? Who said it? Where did you hear it? When did this happen? And why did you spread it? Why do you think it's true, for heaven's sakes? Yeah, who, what, where, when, and why. Let's find out the root of this thing and talk about how come we need a positive group dynamic and that negativity is just not working for us. Yes, who, what, where, when, and why. Very, very important. Who, what, where, when, and why. Yeah. So that we can find out what to do about it and not guess. Very important to have people be able to tell you things, right? Right. To be open. To truly be open and not just say it and then, you know, act in an uncivil in some way manner. No. You need to truly be open to find out what it is that's going on. Who, what, where, when, and why. Siham and others are saying that you use the timeouts, the breaks with the food, to have a discussion and then bring it to the group as a whole, right? Yes, it's a very good point. The 5W questions are not necessarily asked in front of the whole group because you don't want to get stubbornness or animosity or somebody arguing and like that. Not necessarily asked in front of the whole group, the who, what, where, when, and why. Right? Yeah. Sometimes you need to do it privately. And you use the timeouts, the breaks, right? With the food, because we're going to have food in the room. Recipe for Peace Now advocates having a potluck. We'll see if we manage to make it to a recipe today. And you use those timeouts as leader to kind of find out the 5W questions and to bring people together so that we can iron this out and then think about it as a group. Yeah, important to do it that way. Important to say, look, this is how it's going to be, and we're going to think about it. And we're going to say, look, this is our time to iron this out before everybody has to talk to us about it. Right? Right. Then, without embarrassing anybody, we bring it as a whole to the group, or maybe we don't bring it to the group at all. It's already been solved, and we can all feel it. Right? We can feel it's okay. A lot of people are asking what happens when there's a challenge to leadership. That would be you, right? Yeah. And the negative talk is really to try to get rid of the leader. Usually, this means that the person who is instigating it has someone else in mind as leader. Usually, themselves, right? Yeah, usually they'd like to be leader. And so they are, yeah, what they call trash talking. They are being negative concerning what it is that you're doing. And unfairly so. I'd like someone to tell me. That's why we ask people to tell you. That's why we have the breaks and the timeouts with the food, too. It's so that someone can come up to me, in addition to me coming up to other people. And someone can say to me, you know, Sue is this person, we'll call him Ed, is undermining your authority. He's saying you're not doing a good job. He's saying that he would do better, right? Time to go talk to the person who's challenging your leadership. Time to model and enforce civility, right? Time to explain that you're not going anywhere soon. Or, you know, oftentimes, well, okay, if you're the you're being paid, you're the third party impartial, it's your employment, your livelihood, you're being paid nicely. The answer is, I'm not going anywhere soon. If you don't like it, you leave. Unless, of course, they're too important to leave, but probably they're not. And you go to the higher-ups and explain the situation, right? That you have dissension because somebody would like to be the leader, but if they were any good at it, they would have done it already. Usually it's the person that couldn't handle it the first time. But now they've seen a good example. The group has been turned around. It looks like we're all on the same page. We're going to make it. And now they want to reassert their leadership, right? Right, because the hard part seems over. We all know that it's not, and they're only going to screw up again. But that's beside the point. They don't know it. So, we're going to be a model of the civility rules, right? And we're going to enforce them immediately and consistently. And we're going to have a little talk with this person because we have been very transparent and someone has told us what they're doing. Yeah. This is true. Sometimes you can feel that the group is having some difficulties or getting going negative on you. I plain ordinary ask what's happening because I plain ordinary want to know. Yeah, what's happening? What's going on? I like to ask. I like to know. Very, very upfront about it. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point that Mohammed and others are talking about negotiation to modify your role or negotiation to modify teams, right? It is possible that when somebody is saying that they would be a better leader, if you're a volunteer, if you think they would be, if you have better things to do than to mess with this, or you think that if they become a leader short term, they're going to hang themselves and you'll get to step back in. All of these things are judgment calls. But you might say, go with God. You want to be leader? Here. Ha. Yeah, that's actually the ultimate challenge. You have to know what your end result is. Will you be traumatized if their leadership is good and it works? Well, you know, sometimes you're not the right person for the job. And sometimes you are, but somebody has to prove themselves that they are the wrong person for the job. You see? Yeah, that's a judgment call. Yeah, it's a good, Muhammad's got a good idea about negotiation to modify your role. Sometimes you can do co-leadership. It's not my favorite gig because it makes an extra layer of negotiation. And I don't do it with people who I will probably disagree with, right? I only do it with people who I am simpatico with, who I am in agreement with, and I know that I am, right? That's a trickiness, to actually have a co-leader. You've got to be on the same page. Yeah, sometimes you do it because it's just such a big job and you don't have the time or the resources. Sometimes I do it because I need someone in a different country, in a different area, to also work on this in their area of expertise, right? Yeah. Sometimes we lead by team. We're all leaders. We're the leadership team. And we've all got our own area of expertise, right? We complement each other. For very big organizations, for very all-encompassing issues, this is necessary, and it's a good idea. Yeah. Okay. Pessimism is our last area. We are almost running out of time, but not quite. Well, we're going to get there. I'm going to try. Yes, I am going to try to get one of the recipes in, just because I know you guys like it, and sometimes we don't make it because we talk. Pessimism, people are saying this is never going to work. We're not getting there. This is just hopeless. Mm-hmm. What should we do about it? Mm-hmm. Hussein and others are talking about understanding the step-by-step process. Yeah. And that's really the key to it. You understand that we are getting somewhere. We are accomplishing what we set out to do. It's just not instantaneous. It's being worked on, right? Yeah, we are getting there. That's not a problem. We're getting there. Mm-hmm. Iris says sometimes the group needs to modify expectations and work together. Modify expectations and work together. Sometimes, I don't know, I guess it is modifying expectations, but sometimes the steps turn out to be too big. It's too much right now. We need to step back and do the steps in between in the process so that we can get to our successful outcome. Yeah. Yes. A whole bunch of you are talking about not only getting to know each other as people, so we can really work together better, and also we always advocate celebrating each success. So we know we've had a lot, right? Because people forget. They forget how far they've come and how much they've achieved, right? Yeah. Yeah, people that like a timeline are saying that's what the timeline is for. Remember, every time you hit a goal on that timeline, it's not just a check off on a piece of paper. It's a celebration. It's a let's do something together that's fun. Yeah, whatever it is that you like. We usually have a nicer little get-together, a little party, right? Yeah. Or we do something together, oftentimes issue-related. We take like a field trip to go see something that we've affected, see something that's truly going to have impact, right? So that we understand what it is that we're doing and why that we're doing it. Yeah, that's always a really good idea to show, to understand how important what you're doing is, right? Yeah, and to get to know each other better as people, because the more we know each other as people, the less likely we are to breach the civility rules, and the more likely we are to be able to get along to negotiate to reach our successful outcome. Mm-hmm. And that's our goal. Mm-hmm. Yes, and one of the things, of course, that we advocate over here at Recipe for Peace Now is when you have your breaks and your timeouts, right, which look like breaks, but really were chosen because things were getting a little bit woolly there for a moment. When you have a timeout or break, let's have some food in the room. Pardon me. I'm going to take a sip of water. Hang on a second. It shows it's a live show, doesn't it? Thank you. My voice is going for a second there. You have food in the room, a potluck. We're going to have food, and you are, because it gives you something to share together. It gives you something to like together, that you've had a nice experience. And it gives the leader time to talk to everybody, not in front of the whole group. And it gives the group time to talk to the leader, not in front of everybody. Right? Yeah, it gives a moment to take 3 deep breaths and kind of sort out how we're doing. We're going to take a survey and ask if anybody has a food allergy, a food prohibition, or religious prohibition to some sort of food, right? We're going to disseminate that information. We're also going to ask people when they bring something to come with a little card that says what is in it. Not what it's called, but a list of ingredients so I can run my eye down it and be sure I can eat it. Now, also, I think we should have a safe recipe as well as an adventure one. A safe recipe has not too terribly many ingredients. The ingredients are something that my people would have eaten before, and be common, because I know this is a global show and your safe recipe may be different than mine. In my area, a curry, for example, would be unusual. But in your area, that's the safest recipe in the world because everybody eats that every day, right?
Yeah.
And it is, we've taken the survey and it looks like everybody can eat it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So let's do our safe recipe because it's been hanging around the longest and I think we'll only get to one because we have 6 minutes. Yay! Okay. It's a lamb and pepper casserole. I think it's delicious. If lamb is not something that you can readily get, beef will do. Lamb's a little bit softer, so I like it better. Besides, I'm partial to lamb. But beef is fine, too. It's prepared the same way. Pick something that's not real tough and chewy. This does some braising and like that because it gets cooked and boiled and things. But still, and if you're going to pick like a real stew meat, something that's kind of tough, cut it into kind of small pieces so it gets soft. Yeah. Yeah, I think everything should be capable of being eaten without having to have iron teeth or need a sharp knife to cut it around, if you know what I mean. So let's have 2 pounds of lean boneless lamb. Around here it comes like that. It comes kind of prepackaged. It's fabulous. We're going to cut it into cubes. A couple tablespoons of all-purpose flour. This is kind of a sweet recipe. You all know that I prefer sweet rather than spicy, I think. Let's have a teaspoon of ground cloves. Yeah, if you think that's too much, you can use a little bit less. It does make it kind of clove-forward. I admit this. We're going to need a couple tablespoons of olive oil. A nice big sweet onion that we're going to slice up nice and thin. A cup and a half of orange juice. Yeah, I prefer the fresh squeeze. I'm not big on the concentrate. I think it's bitter. You could decide how you feel about that. Let's have about a cup of chicken stock. If this is too much liquid, we're going to look at it, reserve a little bit, and see as we go along if we need to add it. Let's have a nice cinnamon stick, which we're going to remember to pull out, right? Let's have a red pepper, a green pepper, and a yellow pepper. That we're going to seed and vein and slice thinly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you can get it into rings, it looks kind of pretty. My experience has been it's a little easier to just make little slices. Let's have 4 nice tomatoes. You can use the canned kind, but I'm going to stick the tomatoes in whole because they look beautiful, and then people can hit them with a spoon and kind of get as many out. In fact, I'm going to go for, depending on how many people you've got coming, if you've got like 6, maybe even 8 people coming, you know they have those little tomatoes now. We call them around here tomatoes on the vine. I don't know what it's called in other places. They're little round tomatoes. Or they've got those ones that are like Roma tomatoes. What I'm telling you is if you use a small whole tomato, but not the teeny weeny ones that around here they call cherry because they're that size. If you use whole small-ish but not teeny tomatoes, then everybody gets their own. It's kind of nice, yeah, because they're going to be in the stew in the casserole. Okay. We're going to preheat our oven to 375. Let's take that lamb and let's trim off any fat or gristle. It comes like that around here. They put like a piece of fat in the packaging. Get rid of that. That's for like a slow cooker. We stick it in there and it's on the top. We're going to cut it into thin strips. Yeah, nice and thin. Then mix the flour and the cloves together because that's where the cloves are going. Oh, yummy. It makes a seasoned flour. I use it all the time. Toss the lamb in the spice flour, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't throw away the spice flour, by the way. Just toss the lamb in the spice flour. I use a baggie. I crush the ground cloves and the flour in a baggie, and then I toss the meat in there. Mm-hmm. Okay, well coated. Hang on to it. We're going to take that oil. We're going to heat it up. We're going to cook the lamb all sides, right? It's going to be all nice and brown. It takes, what, 3 minutes? The thing is already in strips. But it's our coated, so it's really, really nice and delicious, and it already smells yummy. We're now going to take the lamb. We're going to put it in our Dutch oven, into our baking dish, right? I use a Dutch oven usually because it's easy to transport. You can use a casserole dish. I like something that's got a lid that I can stick on it. We're going to, well, we didn't throw out the oil or anything. We just took the lamb out, right? We're now going to add the onion and the garlic to the skillet. 3 minutes. You might need a little extra oil. See how it looks. It's all nice and cooked, and everything smells nice. It's all kind of softish and brownish and like that. It took about 3 minutes, right? You know that extra spiced flour that we had with the cloves in it? Let's throw that in. Mm-hmm. And just stir, 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 stir. 2 minutes, then take that off the heat. Mm-hmm. We've now got the skillet with the cloves and the flour and the garlic and the onions and like that. Take the orange juice and the stock and stir them in nice and gradually. Otherwise, you're going to get splashing and hit yourself. Maybe reserve a little bit of each. It may be a little too much liquid. You got to figure that out. I usually put in all of it because I tend to cook the meat extra because I like it to be soft. Mm-hmm. Stir, stir, stir. Gradually stir in the liquid. It's now all incorporated. You've got all the good nubbly bits up. You've brought it to a boil. Stir, stir, stir. Yummy. Now take that whole thing and tip it into the casserole dish or the Dutch oven, whatever you're using, where the lamb is. Add the cinnamon. Add the peppers. Add the tomatoes whole because they're going to float around looking yummy. And stir the whole thing up. Stick a cover on it. Cook it for about an hour and a half, maybe a little more, until the lamb is nice and soft and tender. And the tomatoes are all yummy and they've kind of split, but they're still basically whole. Oh, delicious. Don't forget to take the cinnamon stick out. That's the thing I tend to forget. It's like, oh, yeah, cinnamon stick. Good. That's a fabulous recipe. Delicious. Very fragrant in the room because you're going to reheat it, right? Or if you've got the oven facility, you might even put it in the oven there, right? Delicious. Smells fabulous with the cloves and everything. Makes everybody think, my goodness, I'm going to want to eat that. Mm-hmm. So I serve it with rice. I've got a big rice cooker. We all know that. You can serve it with whatever you like, something on the side, some sort of starch. Couscous is popular around here. Yeah. Pasta, maybe. Mm-hmm. I personally prefer rice. I think it's just because I've got that rice cooker and I can make a whole bunch of it and everybody likes it. Nobody ever objects. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's our safe recipe. Easy, delicious, easy to serve, easy to dish out. Mm-hmm. My friends, we are out of time. Thank you so much for being here. We will do the adventure recipe next week. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. If you want to find us, we're recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. If you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on that website. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening, and please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye. We'll see if that works.